Hello, I'm Rob Beckett.
And I'm Josh Widdicombe.
Welcome to Parent in Hell, the show in which Josh and I discuss what it's really like to be a parent, which I would say can be a little tricky.
So, to make ourselves, and hopefully you, feel better about the trials and tribulations of modern-day parenting, each week we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how they're coping.
Or hopefully how they're not coping.
And we'll also be hearing from you, the listener, with your tips, advice, and, of course, tales of parenting woe.
Because, let's be honest, there are plenty of times when none of us know what we're doing.
This episode is brought to you by the Inspire Collection by Kalia. You shouldn't settle for just any old pair of leggings. You deserve something better. Something designed with you in mind. Like the new Inspire leggings by Kalia. Their most versatile collection yet, made for any workout. They're lightweight, buttery soft, breathable, and made with Lycra adaptive fiber, which molds to your body for a barely there supportive fit. It's perfect for wherever your wellness routine takes you. Shop the Inspire Collection by Kalia now, exclusively at Dick's Sporting Goods.
Hello, you're listening to Parent in Hell with...
Teddy, can you say Rob Beckett?
Rob Beckett.
And can you say Josh Widdicombe?
Josh Widdicombe.
Very good.
Yeah, I think it was very good, yeah.
Solid.
Hi, Rob and Josh, this is our son Teddy saying your names. Although Josh's surname sounds more like Josh Widdicombe. I hadn't noticed that, but fair enough if you want to criticise him. Teddy's 4, very nearly 5. Both me and my husband absolutely love the pod. Loyal listeners, thanks for being relatable and super sexy. Tiff and Dan from South Wales, but originally...
Tamworth.
Kent.
Oh, miles away. I was going to say Thurrock, actually. That would have been good.
Do we have an unbalanced amount of people in the southeast of London? Or are they just really good at writing in?
I think...
Are you so loved in the area of Kent, Rob?
I'd say I've got a good following in Essex and Kent.
Yeah.
And York, weirdly. Glasgow and Liverpool, I think I need to do work there. I still think I'm too much of a...
Rob.
Cockney wanker.
Selling tickets in Liverpool.
I'm going to ask Kevin Bridges if I can do his tour support for a bit, which really, at this stage of my career, would be a step down.
It would
Nothing
be.
Wrong with doing support, because
no,
a great gig and I did loads of support. But it gets to the point where you can't really support someone when you're doing your own tours. But
yes.
I think maybe if Kevin Bridges let me have a go.
I think Lou might be annoyed, Rob. I think if you said to Lou, I'm having a year off doing my own tour, but I'm going out on tour to support Kevin Bridges.
Look,
I think she'd be well within her rights.
It's 100 quid a gig and the train's only 90 quid. So with 10 quid up, what do you think?
I remember doing a gig at Skipton Mart Theatre.
Yep.
Yeah, which is an astonishing gig because it's during the week it is a cattle market and at the weekend they put in seats and it becomes a comedy tour venue. And I'd say the smell is more from the week than from the weekend.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's only so much spilt Magnus can cover up the smell of cow shit as you perform to these people that can't even believe they're there. And it's not like this is like... a regular occurrence. It's almost they get shuffled in going, I didn't know this was here.
Yeah,
why, everyone in there is going, why are we here? How has this happened?
Yeah.
Talking of the Skipton cattle market, if you do go onto it, and it's at no point on the website does it make it clear that it's a cow market. It says stand-up and it says people that have been on before. So it's got my picture there.
Yeah.
Sarah Millican.
Yeah.
And guess who else?
Ramesh.
Dave Spikey.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I didn't mind the gig. I enjoyed the gig.
My main memory
is staying in a hotel where they didn't have breakfast, so they just left a bag of breakfast stuff at your door. Have you ever had this?
Dear.
A breakfast bag?
They do an event called Crafts in the Pen. So you can Christmas crafts with the kids.
Oh, my word.
Anyway, it is a good gig. It doesn't smell that much of cow poo. I would go. It's not dirty. They clean it all.
Some geezer
comes out with a jet wash beforehand. But it's a good gig.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
But I didn't expect to be in a cow cattle market.
No. But enough of this, Rob.
Yes.
How's parenting?
Yes.
Should I tell you about my stag do?
Yeah, let's say about stag do. And parenting wise, I'm in Dubai. I had to work out here, so I thought I'd bring Lou and the kids out as well. So
nice.
I doubled up. So I'm half working. Lou had to fly on her own, and we can talk all about that in a minute because I want to hear about the stag.
Oh my God,
day.
Rob! I just
you don't
my
sound
tea.
Well.
No, it was hell of a stag. It was hell of a stag, Rob.
Well, you sent me a photo of someone with the paramedics.
So I'm not gonna name names, because I don't know how you pass this anecdote off to your wife without it sounding terrible. So I don't know if he's told her.
Right. So he's married, and it's a man. Okay, we're getting to the case. We're getting.
But one of the people was so hungover that he called an ambulance.
Do you know what? I respect that. I've thought about it.
But he genuinely thought, this is it. I'm dying. And he went back to the hotel. He was in his hotel room.
So where was you? What time of day was this? Where was you out drinking
we'd gone out to walk up the Belfry in the centre of Bruges for our wholesome morning activity.
Oh, that is a terrible start. That is awful to do hungover.
Well, luckily, they didn't have any slots, so we just went to the pub, right?
And I bet the relief and the stag.
Thank God, because if I'd been up a Belfry, because my phone then rang.
What the fuck's a Belfry?
It's like a church spire, right, thing that overlooks the whole of the city. It's number one.
Do you know what? I'm so bored of being up high on holiday.
Well, yeah, that's because you're in Dubai. You've got the... You've been at the Burj Khalifa.
No, but I think we spoke about this before. It's pointless. You know what Bruges look like. You flew over it from really high. So why are you getting lower?
No, we didn't. No, we got the Eurostar.
Right, okay. I take it all back.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. So then we go and we're like... We're having a drink in the town square at about 12:15. And my phone rings and it's one of the other people's names who has still not surfaced from the hotel. Well, he's left and then he's gone back.
Yeah.
And then it's not his voice. And they say, is that Josh? I'm like, sorry, what's going on? And it's someone from the hotel to say that they've called an ambulance.
Oh, no. And you're in charge of the stag, so it's your responsibility. You're the captain of the ship.
At one point, everyone was like, should we all go back? I'm like, I don't think that's the right thing to do. I don't think 16 people showing up in the hotel foyer is going to be a helpful situation.
But they might have to call more ambulances.
Imagine if I'd been up the Belfry, Rob. 350 steps in the air.
I've been up one of them belfries, one in Krakow, and I'll tell you what, because they're so old, they're slippy steps as well. It's hard work.
It's a rope
on a chain.
There would have been a moral conundrum. What if I'd got that call when I was 20 steps from the top? Would I have gone straight back to the hotel?
No, you would have gone top. I would have quick photo down.
Yeah.
So you went back on your own to the hotel?
No, Ellis came with me.
Right,
we went back to the hotel.
Ellis. We're slowly working it out.
Yeah, or is that a bluff?
Okay, nice work, all right. Okay, he's married, he's not Ellis or Josh. Okay, that's 16 people, that's 14 options we've got now.
Yeah, so we went back and he was lying on the sofa in reception with a wet flannel on his forehead that they'd given him. The paramedics hadn't yet shown up. I couldn't believe. And I'd say...
This is pathetic. Was it a big night?
Well, I was panicked, because obviously you've been called back by someone saying, we've had to call an ambulance. So you're panicked. I'd say within 15 seconds of seeing him, I thought, this is fine. This is totally fine.
Okay.
He had been on his bathroom floor. You know when you lie on the bathroom floor because it's nice and cold when you're hungover?
Yes! But not for about 20 years.
So he was lying on the bathroom floor on the cold tiles, and he said he got pins and needles in his face. And
sorry, it's fine because I know he's okay.
Yeah, it's all fine. And then he got pins and needles in his arms, and he said his hands just went into the crab position, he couldn't move them, and he started to panic. Anyway, he then went downstairs.
How? Sideways. Walk like an Egyptian. Walk like
an Egyptian. He walked into reception, he said, hospital, ambulance, ambulance.
I drunk at the wrong point, sorry.
Yeah. And so then they called an ambulance, looked after him. The ambulance showed up when we were there.
Yeah.
Two paramedics. They gave him one of those masks with the bag on it that you just breathe in and out of. Like an oxygen mask.
Yeah.
He basically was... I mean, it's great for our feature. He's basically having a panic attack because he was so hungover.
Right, okay, fair enough, bless him.
Because he couldn't regulate his breathing.
Right, and that's what. So it was he. Yeah, okay. I shouldn't be laughing that much, but it is quite funny, isn't it?
He saw the funny side very quickly.
Also, I know who it is, right? I've deduced it, and it's not a surprise.
Right, yeah. Okay, yeah.
I'd have him down as someone who would, like, panic a bit.
And so we got a photo of him with the paramedic. The paramedics were a great laugh.
We'll have to get him on the podcast.
I'll be honest with you. Once on a stag do, someone's called a paramedic, an ambulance, because their hangover's so bad. It really is. Everything else is in the shade after that point. Do you know what I mean? That's your big moment.
That's the headline from the trip.
That's the headline from the... After that, anything else that happens really in the following day is a small fry compared to the man who called the paramedic with a hangover.
So how long were the paramedics there for?
15 minutes.
I thought you'd called the paramedics at one point, because you half mentioned this on text, and I said to Lou, and Lou went, fucking hell, Josh loves the hospital. I actually thought you'd called him. No, even on a stag do, he has to seek medical attention for people he's looking after.
No, I hadn't called them. But they were lovely.
Did you do his temperature? So apart from that, how else was the stag? How did you behave? Did you get drunk?
I was really bad on Friday night. Well, I was in bed by 10:30.
What I'd say is, that's good. What I'd say is it's quite really busy and stressful, that lead up to the book launch stuff. There's people wanting a lot from you, and you're everywhere and putting on your...
I'd built up a lot to it, Rob. Built up a lot.
You was really looking forward to it. I did say
to Rose, I'm probably not going to drink on the Eurostar. And that was a lie to myself.
What time did you get on the train?
11. But we had a pint at St Pancras.
Yeah, you've got to have a pint on the first start of a stag.
Yeah, and then we drunk on the train. And then you get there, and the beer is 8%, Rob. So there's a round of 8% beers, and then just two of them, and then you're absolutely south of the border, really.
Where, Germany?
I bumped into a stranger in McDonald's.
Yeah.
The next morning. And he was like, "You all right, Josh?" And I was like, "You all right?" And he was like... He said, "Yeah, I actually rescued you a bit last night. You just stood in the street like a zombie, and I put you down. I took you in and put you on a chair." I was like, "Oh my god!"
So you met that bloke last night?
I just bumped into him in McDonald's. It's a small town, so he just saw me the next morning.
Right, okay. And he sorted you out the night before. You're stood there like you're on Spice.
Yeah.
Was it good though?
It was fun. We didn't go up the Belfry.
No,
because of that.
That's fine.
And then we were going to go on a boat trip. That was the other wholesome activity. But we had to abandon that because my friend had called a paramedic. So that meant that we just had to go straight to lunch.
So activities were 8% beer and medical attention.
Medical attention, was the activity. Yeah,
okay. Those people get a stripper. He gets a paramedic. It's a Josh Whittaker run stag.
Exactly. It's very on brand, Rob.
If anyone's getting stripped, it's you with big scissors to get to the body. Very, very on brand. The actual stag? Did the actual stag, Tom Crane, get...
Did well. He did really well. We did Mr. and Mrs. That was fun.
Yeah.
Lots of fun to be had. It was really fun.
Was it two nights?
Two nights.
And then how was it getting back to sort the kids out? Because obviously Rose's had the kids.
Yeah, I didn't get a hero's welcome, I'd say, on return. But I was anticipating that because I don't think I gave her a hero's welcome after she'd been on the hen.
You've always got to give them a hero's welcome and go, let them come in and go like, no, you must be tired. It's tiring. It is tiring. Have a lie down. I'll deal with them till bedtime.
Yeah.
Then you've got it in the back pocket next time.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be a trade-off, but it really is, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. That's life, isn't it, Rob?
I remember that once I picked Lou up from the station. She'd been to London, stayed overnight with her friends, and then she'd stayed shopping and lunch all day. I picked her about 6, and she got in the car. I was like, "You all right?" like that. She went, "Yeah." Oh, yawned. I went, "God, I'm tired." And I went, "Stop talking." Even if you are, just got to keep that to yourself, mate. You've had lunch. That's what you did today.
Yeah.
You ate lunch.
It's difficult, isn't it? Because the problem with the going away for the stag, like if you both go away, like when we went to Glastonbury, you both come back it's not an unbalanced thing. Do you know
what
I mean?
You're in it together.
You're in it together. But when you come back and the other one's been parenting all weekend.
So when did you get back? Sunday?
5 p.m. Sunday.
Oh, that is a dark time, isn't it?
It wasn't ideal.
And then did you have to do bath and bedtime or did Rose do it?
We both did it.
But you weren't too bad Sunday. You went hard on the Friday.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the thing about going hard enough to go to bed at 10:30 is you've actually had quite a good sleep.
Yeah, well, that's why I did a Joe Swashy stag. Go hard at lunchtime, in bed by half 10, because no one's getting up before 10. That is a 12-hour window to sleep and rest.
Yeah, exactly.
For you like to go, 3 nights sleep 2 months ago.
It was a fun stag, though. So tell me about your week.
When they're 6 and 4, day flight with iPads or
yeah,
whatever.
You're fine,
we got
right?
Fire Stick, whatever they're called. She said it actually wasn't too bad. It's more hassle at the airport and after. But what they do in Dubai, which I didn't realise, you can book like a meet and greet service where as you get off the plane, and I don't know how much it was, I think it's about 40 or 50 quid, which isn't cheap, but someone met Lou as she got off the plane and then walked her through immigration and like pushed all the bags and
went to
the carousel, helped Lou get the bags and the thing, and then Lou could hold the girl's hands and then he pushed all the bags to the transfer, which you don't really need if... what happened was I booked by accident for me as well.
What? Oh, no, Rob. Oh no!
Right,
oh no!
So if you
you had a helping hand on your own.
Yeah. So it was perfect for Lou. Because if you arrive on your own
that
with
was
two
so
little
mortifying.
Kids, someone turns up and they have her name on the sign, and then that way she's not trying to look after the kids. Because if you need to go a wee, the kids gonna need a wee. There's no one to watch the bags. You don't want to leave your bag. Blah blah blah. So it worked really well, and they got her to the transfer, put all the bags in the boot while Lou sorted out the kids. So it's basically someone helped with the bag. Anyway, but I did it. And I came on the night flight after working, and I got there and I was all tight, and I was like, I saw the board, I was like, oh no. So I didn't have any bags, just me and my backpack.
Oh my God.
And then I had one hold luggage, and I just walk along with this bloke. I'm like, you're right? He's like, yep. And I'm just walking with him. Shows me like, the immigration thing as I go through there. Then we're just at the carousel, and then like, I go to pick the bag up, and then he picks it up. I was like, no, I'll get
it. Oh God.
And then
I packed
my bag drunk the night before, and I couldn't remember what was in it or what bag it was. And it went past me twice, and he went, give me the ticket thing. And he had to read. It's actually quite invaluable because I would have stood there for hours. My bag went past me twice. and it was so awkward. It was so, and I was like, I've just done the booking wrong. It was so embarrassing.
Were you honest with him about it? Like, did you say, I didn't mean to book you?
Yeah, but then that's sort of like, I'm playing games with him, isn't it? Yeah. I didn't mean to book you, but now I've got you.
Yeah.
It was just really awkward. Because obviously, what meant to do with that information? Leave?
Yeah.
I'm not going to get a refund at that point. He's already waited. Yeah, so that was a bit embarrassing.
I was
I'm going to go to the toilet. And he was like, okay. And he just waited for me to the toilet.
He didn't.
You come in with me.
Got to get my money's worth out of this guy. I'm going to go to the toilet.
Come on. It's been fun out here. It's lovely for the kids. We did the swimming pool. You know, I said when they're 6 and 4, it's actually fine, the swimming pool, because they can sort of... I take that back. So what's happened now is they've become confident swimmers, Josh, which just involves them jumping on me, nearly knocking me out. And then what they'll do is they'll go underwater for a swim. So they are good swimmers, but I couldn't leave them in the pool on their own. They're 6 and 4. You can't leave them in on their own. But what they'll do is they'll go underwater, but swim like 5 breaststrokes. And then you literally can't find them. They pop up about 6 metres away.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, fucking come back.
How good are they?
They're really good. They're really good at swimming. They're really confident swimmers. And it's so hot here that they're in the pool all day. Yeah. So they're just getting better and better each day.
Yeah.
They've been doing pranks. So anyway, one of them was just bobbing around in the water, and I sort of picked her up and went, you okay? And then she went, and then it turns out they're pretending to drown.
Oh my God. Oh God.
To make me stressed.
Oh mate.
And then one of them come over and went, she's banged her head and she's bleeding. And she was like under the towel. I was like, oh my God, I rung over. And I was like, what's wrong? I picked the towel up, and the little one went, pranked you.
Oh my God.
I don't know.
That is not an acceptable prank.
I know. I don't know if they've been watching something, but they keep going, they keep saying these awful things.
And I tell you what, Rob.
Prank you. But tell I've got what, to sort that out.
It's difficult to tell them off for pranking as well because they think it's funny. So you're really changing the tone. Do you know what I mean? To go,
yeah, but she's
actually,
screaming,
this is serious.
Prank you. Yeah, I know, but
that's a difficult kind of gear shift, isn't it?
Yeah, but also you've like, we're in this pool for like two more days now. We've been here a few days. We're here for two more days. I don't think I want to really draw a line in the sand on water-based pranks, considering the next time they're going to go swimming is probably next April.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Is it a hill you want to die on?
Which is just a fun little holiday thing that you hope will die off, or am I whipping out the timeout step every time they pretend to crack their head? But yeah, they keep going, prank you. And I'm like, you little shit. And also now, because they like probably want to swim in the deep end, so that's like, I've got to be in there with them.
Yeah.
And like, I am so burnt. I can't get the cream on my head and shoulders quick enough. Like, because it's so hot. So I'll get in there and like, I'd say my shoulders and head are puce red, bottom half white as a boat. Like, bright white. But this, I've been putting 50 on my face and shoulders, but I just can't keep up with the water and sweat. But I might have to get like put an hat on and one of them like dad t-shirts.
Yeah, you can.
Because I'm in there
t-shirt
all day.
In the pool.
God, yeah, but I'm in there all day.
Is Lou not part of the pool rotations?
No, Lou is doing a fair shift, to be honest. However, the UFC was on out here, and I went over to do the UFC in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
Right, which is an hour drive away, okay?
Yeah.
So, I had a night out.
When you went over to do the UFC, you weren't fighting.
I didn't fight, yeah. Bit of work. Had to fight this Russian geezer. No, I wasn't fighting.
I'd say that's, if you had a UFC fight, I'd say that's probably what we'd lead the podcast with. As opposed to your burnt shoulders in the swimming pool. By the way, I also did a UFC fight.
Yeah. I was laying in the octagon going, prank show! I didn't really hurt myself. Prank you. Yeah, so I went out and there's been lots of football on. So I've been going to watch the football occasionally and I went to watch UFC on Saturday. So Lou had the kids for the evening.
Right.
So the next day, Lou was going to go out and do something like with her friend. But in the end, she ended up just sitting around the pool. But every other day, she sort of got involved because that was her day to chill.
Yeah.
She, and I respect it actually, was like, nope, you had the UFC, I'm not getting in the pool. And she just laid by the pool all day. And at one point, I had thought, because there was this, you've got some friends out here and their kids are in the pool. And they had babysat for us to go out for dinner for our anniversary. Mila went out for dinner. So I was like, why don't you sit there and have a couple of hours because you know, trading off childcare. I had all four of them in the pool, Josh, at one point. It was fucking... Have you ever tried to... How do these people with four children cope?
Oh my God.
It was men's... They were jumping. And also, I had ranging from like... 4 to like 8. So the 8-year-old's basically better swimmer than me, but she's launching everywhere, trying to keep up with her. There's one that can sort of swim, but is still wearing a life vest. My two that can swim, but occasionally will hold on to me because they're going under. And it was mental. And then one of our friend's kids got out of the pool and went to the bed to like get something. I went to Lou. Lou, do you mind watching them when they're out of the water? Even I know it was her day off of kids. I went, do you mind watching them when they're out of the water? And she went, well, how will I know when they've got out? I was like, well, how the fuck am I supposed to watch them? I can't do land and sea. Even the emergency services split that up. But yeah, that was brutal. But then it was, the UFC was worth it though. But it was, oh, mate. So went to Abu Dhabi, an hour away from Dubai. Got tickets to go to the UFC.
So the UFC's like fighting in an octagon,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, MMA fighting based in America. But they do a lot of, there's a lot of... Middle Eastern and Russian and different fighters.
It's brutal, isn't it?
It is really brutal, yeah. And it's like boxing, but you're allowed to kick and elbow and there's little... It's really a brutal thing. And I've never been before. And so I was doing a bit of work out here and then I was doing a little bit of work with the UFC, so I went to watch it as well. Yeah. So it was sort of half work, half... But I can't tell Lou that's work, even though it was a bit work.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, we got to the arena, right? Hour away, Abu Dhabi. Get out, get the tickets, go to go in. PCR, please. Pardon?
What? Oh, no.
PCR test.
What is this, 2021?
I know. I went, what? And then I went, let's just go in a pub and sort this out. Went to go in a bar, PCR. Pardon? You cannot enter a public space in Abu Dhabi without a PCR test from at least 30 days away.
So you queue up and get a PCR test?
Yeah, so you're queuing up. So there's about, we're really early, so it's fine, but there's about 100 people, well, 50 people queuing up. So now this is the most high-pressure PCR I've ever had in my life because I don't know if I've got COVID or not.
Your then option is between UFC or... isolating for the rest of your holiday.
Yes!
Like, you're suddenly like, wait a minute. I've put my whole holiday in jeopardy without realising it.
Yeah. So we're queuing up, and I'm like, it's either the best news of all time or the worst news of all time.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't it? But negative, yeah. we're into the UFC, not a problem. Anyway, queue up, do it. All three of us are negative. That was one of the biggest buzzes.
Imagine if of you hadn't been. Imagine.
Yeah, but then I think we'd have to go home and isolate for 24 hours because of close proximity.
Oh, my word.
Anyway, the stress. We queued up, got a PCR, negative, got in the arena. Josh, I go to the boxing. I'm from Southeast London. I've sort of growing up, moved in circles with, I'd say, some hard-looking blokes, right? Maybe more so than your average sort of...
It's why you're so hard yourself. You have to look after yourself.
Well, no, it's why I'm so good at avoiding trouble and spotting it and running away quickly. Basically, when you grow up, you're either hard or you're very good at finding out when it's going to kick off and leaving. We went into the arena. I have never seen so many hard-looking bastards in my life. Lot of rock, just absolute units, right? We get in, we've got our tickets, and basically there's a lot of local, there's a couple of fighters, there's a guy from Dubai fighting on the undercard, so it's rammed full of locals, rammed full of people that have travelled in, a few English as well, but not many. We get in, go to find our seats, we find them, three massive blokes, and I go...
I think
you're in our seat.
What, sat in your seat? Oh, you didn't, did you?
I went, what have I got to do to stand up at the back? I went,
yeah, that's what I do.
I went, I think you're in our seats. And he went, no, we're not.
Oh, God.
And
oh,
I went, God. Okay, and just walked off.
Oh, no, Rob.
And then me and my two mates just at the back trying to work out what to do. And then...
Could you tell me which seats you were meant to be in and then we'll sit in them? I'm happy to have our seats.
I'm happy to be your bitch, but can you just let us know where I can go and be pathetic and sit down rather than stood at the back?
There'll be three empty seats nearer the back that you've obviously turned down.
So anyway, we went to the toilet and I was like, and then we just went, look, we've just got to go in and then tell them and then find one of the security people there to move them, right? Anyway.
Snitched.
Anyway, we get back. Two of them had left.
To go and get drinks or just
left? I don't know where. So two of us sit down. And we said to him, like, you're in our seat. He went, oh, what? And he went, oh, okay. And he was like the smaller one. He went, oh, okay. And then he just walked and there was a seat in front of us and he just jumped over the seat and sat there.
Oh my God, this guy doesn't give a fucking shit, does he?
And we were there, just three little skinny little, well, not skinny, but compared to them, we were skinny. Three little weedy English boys, a little white, with our shorts on, little white legs, just sat there. And we just said, we are not moving. We are going to sit down for the entire time. And then there was just people. It was just carnage. We're basically just chancing their arm and just getting to the front and waiting for someone to move them on. And then luckily some harder people come and sat nearer us that had tickets and then moved them along. But I thought there was going to be fights in the crowd. But anyway, it was so funny. I felt so pathetic that bigger boys have taken our seats.
There's no way. I respect you for going back to your seats.
We had to leave and do a little bit of a... We all had a vodka Red Bull and just had a chat. I was like, right, we're going to go back in and just say, because they are our seats, it's rude what they're doing. It's actually not acceptable. I've seen there's some security guards, so we can just tell them and they'll move them for us. But luckily, we didn't have to have a confrontation. But
Did you do the talking, Rob?
I did some of the talking. Another guy was with, did a bit more talking, but it was fine. But it was just, it was carnage. But basically, they're such big UFC fans out here. It only comes once every year. And they had a local guy on that won and he was an underdog and it was mental in there. It felt the closest atmosphere was the final of the Euros when everyone just bunked in. That's what it felt like. But it was unbelievable. It was one of the worst days
in British sporting history.
But the
closest I can compare it to is that thing that brought shame on our nation.
But once the security come in, they sorted all the tickets out and sent everyone to the back. It's just because we got there early. That normally happens in boxing. When you get there early, people go at the front and come back. But UFC was absolutely unbelievable. I'm definitely going to go again. Word. But I was quite scared. A bit scared. But then I got... We didn't get back until 3 a.m, right? And then so we were hungry because we hadn't had dinner. And then I ordered they've got Deliveroo. I ordered like a KFC and Deliveroo, right? Yeah. And normally they've been really late, and I ordered it to come like 2:10 in the morning
to the hotel.
Yeah. Anyway, I've ordered it, and we got held up in traffic, and like,
oh no, oh no,
and they were like, oh no, oh no, and then,
oh no,
my mates were like,
oh no,
what if he gets there before though? He'll go into reception. They'll ring Lou. I was like, oh no,
oh my God.
Imagine ringing that. Imagine a 3 a.m. phone call from a KFC delivery.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, so I'm like, no, it'll be fine. Fine. They've been late all holiday because what we've been doing is, in this hotel, it's quite expensive for the kids' lunch. We've been getting Deliveroo, like Happy Meals and KFC and Domino's, and just bringing it in.
You're smuggling in cheaper food for the kids?
Yes.
And also, they're more likely to eat it.
More likely to eat it, and it's honestly about half... The hotels are very expensive out here, like, for drinks and food. Like, there's a shop about 20-minute walk away where it's, like, 65p for a can of drink. Around the pool, they're about 8-10 quid. It's mental.
Yeah.
So, we... Yeah, anyway. And what are good in these hotels, though? They normally have, like, some sort of club lounge thing. It's a bit more money to pay for, but you get, like, three hours of free drinking. So we get three hours of free drinking. 5 p.m. to 8 p.m, we've been getting absolutely shit-faced and then just riding that way through dinner. And anyway, so I was like, oh, my God. I went, no, it'll be fine. Delivery's been late. Every time we've ordered it at lunch, it's been late. And they're getting in my head going, yeah, but it's 2 a.m., Rob. The roads are quiet. It'll be fine. I'm like, no, it'll be fine. Anyway, we turn the corner, and then my mate goes, oh, look, there's a KFC delivery bike. I was like, yeah, good one, mate. Winding me up. Like, there's never a KFC. It's always Deliveroo or Just Eat, isn't it?
Yeah.
There was literally a motorbike that had KFC written on it. Empty at the front of the hotel. I was trying to climb out of the car window, like trying to get, and I ran out, and then luckily the bloke was just sat on a bench. He went, Mr. Beckett. I was like, yes, thank you.
He was just sat on a bench waiting for you.
Well, he'd only just got there. He was literally had his phone out, and he was, and my 3G had rung out, and he was going, hi. He was like, come to room? ? And I was, I reckon, five minutes away from him waking up Lou and the kids. It would have been absolute carnage. Arabian adventure thing where you take you into the desert. I've never done this before.
You what?
Well, it's like you basically they pick you up from the hotel, drive you to the desert, let down the tyres, and go all over the sand dunes. It's well good fun, and you go over the sand dunes, and then like it's fun like ride, and then you go and watch the sunset and have a little drink on the sand dunes. What I would say, and then you go to a camp that's built into the sand, and they do sandboarding. So there's all this going on, all sort of local culture kind of stuff, which is great unless your children hate sand.
Oh yeah, of course.
I must have heard them shout, "It's so sandy," about 1,000 times, and all you want to do is scream in their face, "It's a fucking desert."
Surely they knew what they were signing up to, right?
Well, the sandboarding, though, mate, right? It was so hot, right? And the sandboarding, you have to walk up, I'd say, like 50-foot dune.
Oh, my God, no thank
on a
you.
Rope, right?
I didn't even do the belfry.
In 35 degrees, holding a snowboard thing, but for sand. It's the same thing, but you know what I mean. Anyway, I'll get that. I'm kidding one hand, holding the sandboard thing on a rope, right? I got up there. My mate, who had his Apple Watch on, his heart rate was 128. Right, so at the top of this sand dune, it's all Lou did it as well. We're all stood along, and then we get on the bald thing, fly down this sand dune about 100 miles an hour, get to the bottom. I'm still out of breath. I've done the ride. But it was amazing. It was a good little trip that. But I wouldn't do it if your kids don't like sand.
Yeah,
yeah. This is quite funny as well. There was the kids were playing with these teenagers. That was like in the camp. There was like a little dance area that where we watch belly dances and stuff. And these teenagers were doing cartwheels on it. So my kids were doing it all, and they were just chatting and getting on. They were going, "What's your mum's name? What's your dad's name?" and stuff like that. And the teenagers were answering. And then my kids went. They went to my kids. "What's your mum called?" I was like, "Oh, Louise." And I went, "What's your dad called?" My daughter went, "Rob Beckett. Have you seen him on the telly?"
Oh no! Oh no!
Mortifying.
Absolutely awful. That is.
Really?
Have they seen you on the toilet?
Of course they fucking have, mate.
Of course.
All over it. No. No, well, the one kid had, the parents had no idea that was off the telly. Right. I was a bit salty at a dinner thing.
Yeah.
These brunch things that are like really lovely food, and they do kids' ones where... We went to one that was like a Beauty and the Beast themed, where you eat and drinks all included, lovely food, lovely drinks, and there was like entertainment for the kids from like 1 till 5. So it's a fun thing to do, and I was doing that, and there was a lot of drunk English people there because it was unlimited booze.
Yeah.
And this old bloke come up to me, and he was like, first of all, he just sat down behind us on the table listening weirdly, and I was like, "You're right." And he was being a bit rude, and he went to me, "I don't know who you are, but you look familiar."
Yeah, here we go.
And I went, and I was a bit pissed, and I went, "I don't know who you are, and you don't look familiar." And it was really tense. Not well.
Oh, no.
He walked off, though, so that sort of went well. Oh, but good. I don't know if that's that was good. Out of order or not, saying that.
No, I think, I don't know who you are, it's quite eight.
But my kids get all a bit defensive when people do that and start holding my hand and cuddling me. It's quite cute. But anyway, yeah, we're back. We're coming back. We'll be back by the time this goes out. It was a sort of quick trip. Have you got anything else you want to share?
Well, just, first ever half term this.
Yeah, so how's it? Because normally, before, was it you had nursery that was all year and now it's your first half term. How's it going? And is your son still in nursery?
Yeah, so my son's still in nursery, but he's only in 2 days a week.
So this is, we're a little bit ahead, so this has gone out, half term will have finished by now, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
basically. So are you having, so you're in the mid, the start of it here, aren't you?
She's at half term activities today at school.
Yeah.
Which,
oh, right, so.
I'll be honest with you, she was quite disappointed it was half term. So.
Oh, really? She likes it?
Yeah, she likes it.
But so I, you're back in, so what? How long is she in for half term activities? What is that,
she's doing Monday and Thursday. No, full day. Full days full on day. Monday and Thursday. This morning, I didn't know, what's the ruling on uniform? Is this, is all are all rules off, or is this more school? I don't know what the score is.
Oh, it's got to be no uniform in half-term. You're already sending it back to the fucking school. What's the point of
half-term? Exactly, that was my view.
No, you wear your own clothes day, mate.
Is it? Yeah, good.
Well, my kids have got henna tattoos on their hands.
Oh, yeah.
Said it doesn't. It lasts for 2 weeks, so... Yeah, they'll still have henna by the time they go back to school. Oh, so, well, yeah, look, we'll report back. But any other business from you? You're good, Josh?
No, I'm just... I regret we haven't organised enough for half-term. It's a classic situation.
No, embrace having space. Embrace the space. Everything's... thinking, you could wake up in the morning and say to them, what do you want to do today?
Yeah.
This is what I've promised my kids. Kids in charge day.
Kids in charge day.
So they're desperate to do a kids in charge day. And because I'm away...
Well, that's
I'm
every
touring.
Day in my house.
Okay, no, but this is like, they can do, like, can do whatever they want. I want jelly for breakfast. You're allowed it, kids in charge day. It feels a bit like what would you would do the first day out of prison after 10 years. Kids in charge day. So kids in charge day. So I've said they can do that when they break up for Christmas holidays.
Nice.
When I'm back, because I'm away working a little bit.
How are you feeling about the Australia trip, Rob?
Yeah, good. Yeah, it'll be... I'll miss them, they'll miss me, but I've got to do it. It's the only time I could do it. And then, like I say, with my work, it's feast and famine. So sometimes I'm away, but then I do have more breaks.
How are you going to work the FaceTiming? What time are you planning to be in touch with your kids?
I've not really looked into that, but I imagine I'll be doing, if I do late in the evening, it'll be early in the morning there. But it's not too bad that with FaceTime, it's a lot easier. Hang on, what time is it?
I think, Rob, if you're a good dad, you'll be getting up at 6 a.m. to just say goodnight to them.
Right,
I think
time
if you're
in Sydney
a good dad,
is 9 p.m.
Currently.
What's it at home? 11 a.m. in the UK.
So when they go to bed at 8 p.m, that'll be 9 hours time.
I can skip us. Oh, fuck. See, this is where it's difficult, because what I want to do is speak to them late at night after the gig before they go to school.
Yeah,
that is going to be bedlam in the house.
What they want is you just to speak to them before they go to bed, 6 a.m. Australia time. I think you owe them that. I think you owe them that, Rob. I think
you
should set your alarm.
I find, this is really bad, I find it easier not seeing them on FaceTime. So my rule is, unless they ask, I don't.
Right.
Because I find it kicks off indoors, because it disrupts the flow of what's going on. And it's selfish in a way, because it's me wanting to see them. And me seeing them reminds them.
Yeah.
Kids are way better at dealing with stuff like this than the adults.
So you're going to give yourself some lines, is what you're saying?
No. But
so
I genuinely think...
Rather than FaceTime them before bed, you think it's better that you just lie in?
No, I think kids would deal with the moment better than adults, because that we weigh ourselves down with expectation. Yep. Kids don't. They're just existing, cracking on with stuff. So I think I'll wait for their lead to want to FaceTime me than vice versa. Because I think it's unfair sometimes when you just burst in on a FaceTime when you're laying on a bed in a hotel and Lou's like, fuck off, I'm trying to do breakfast. They're already kicking off now. They're using you against me, kind of thing. But I'm sure it'll be fine. I'm trying to not think about that. There's plenty of us. Thinking about the now, Josh. And now it's time for small business shout outs.
Oh, look at that link.
Hi, Rob, Josh and Michael. My sister-in-law, Gemma, has started a wonderful small business that I think deserves a shout-out. Gemma has a beautiful daughter, Soraya, who is now 7, and like many Moana, Tiana and Maribel-loving children, requested a princess party for her birthday. Gemma was able to find dozens of princess party entertainers for the princesses of white ethnicity, but no companies who provided any princesses of colour. Realising that there would be many other families across the country who had encountered this lack of diversity and coming from from a family of singers herself, she decided to start her own business. A Princess Like Me is a party agency for princess entertainers of colour, with various packages that include doorstep experiences, personalised princess video messages and full princess events with fun games, singing performances, storytelling and much more. Gemma hopes she can provide a magical day for children wishing to meet their favourite princesses, who to this point have been massively underrepresented. The business is currently based in Hertfordshire and London, but is looking to expand soon, and I know a shout out from you would make all the difference to her. You can find out more at aprincesslikeme.co.uk or Instagram aprincesslikemeuk. Thanks for all the laughs. My wife and I listen to every episode. Cheers, Rob and Siobhan. Thank you very much. That's a great one.
That is a good
one. So
that's
aprincesslikeme.co.uk.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll be back on Friday.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you next time. Friday for an interview.
An interview? That sounds exciting.
Interview? A guest?
Yes, an interview. It's a guest. It's a chat, interview. Isn't it?
A chat. Just like an informal chill out chat for you guys and girls. Just,
yeah.
Chatting. See you on Friday,
what
Josh.
What you can get from this is me and Rob don't know which interview it is, so we're trying desperately not to say the name because we're not sure which one it is. But you'll find out on Friday.
As will we.